Dr. Marka Gronin is an adult and geriatric psychiatrist currently serving as the medical director for mental health and clinical research at the Miami Jewish Health Systems. A Harvard grad, he went on to receive his medical degree from Yale. His articles have appeared in the New York Times and many other prestigious publications. His new work, How We Age, A Doctor's Journey into the Heart of Growing Old, sets out to show that aging is more than an inevitable decline, that it can also be a period of vitality, wisdom, creativity, and ultimately, hope. Welcome, Dr. Gronin. Thanks for stopping by the Book Report today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I really enjoyed one question that was posed by your son. When does old begin?
Well, this is a great question and a changing question, because when you look at the average lifespan, it's changed from roughly age of 50 in 1900 to close to 80 today. So in our lifetimes, we've seen such a dramatic shift in terms of how long people live and also how well people live within a certain time frame. That being said, the way we perceive our age is something quite different. And this really gets to the heart of this question that my son, at the time he was about 5 years old, had posed to me, because he began to take note of his own age. He saw older people around him who really aren't that old, but for him, they are. And he began to wonder, what does it mean to get older? And he posed this question to me, and I realized that this is something that we all think about and we face regardless of how old we are. And what's remarkable is that we tend to look at our own age as the most normal of times. And so I'm always struck by individuals as they get into their 50s and 60s and 70s. What it means to be old often is still in the future. Even sometimes I encounter individuals in their 80s and 90s who still look at even older people or individuals that they perceive as more debilitated as really being old, and they're not.
Well, baby boomers, of which I am one, can't help but worry about the aging process. So, I mean, did you write your book to set out and sort of put us all at ease?
Well, that's really how things evolved over time. Now, in my work as a doctor, specifically as a psychiatrist for older individuals, you would think that because I see individuals facing so many age-related difficulties, with memory loss being the number one, that my vision of older age would be pretty dismal. But what I found working with individuals time and time again is that aging brings strength, it brings maturity, it brings new creativity and growth. And I thought, this inspiration that I've received from my patients and the incredible changes that people have undergone and the stories they tell, I really wanted to capture in a book. And it does fill me with hope. And what I found from many readers is that they also find themselves inspired by this. And it gives them a new and different sense of the aging process and of their own aging.
Now, you kind of structured the book where you focus on some very remarkable patients that you've worked with.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you would want to share a favorite story with the listeners.
Sure. I would say one of the most extraordinary individuals I worked with was a Native American when I was working in Minnesota. And he's from the Lakota or Sioux tribe. And someone who really had faced so many difficult challenges from growing up in a fractured household. He had been a soldier during the Korean War and returned from the war not only suffering from alcoholism, but also from very, very severe post-traumatic stress. And when he came to see me, he was actually only in his 60s, but had aged so much and was facing so many challenges that even though his physical age was in his 60s, his mental aging was greater than that. And I was working with him at the same time that he was working with a medicine man. And I can tell you that when you don't fully understand someone's culture, you're learning about it, it can be pretty intimidating to know that there's a medicine man working at the same time you are. What I found over time is that it was so difficult to know what really I was helping him with, but I wanted to at least know, let him know that I was there, I was present, I would help him in any way. Subsequently, he dropped out of treatment. I moved away from the area. But when I was writing the book, I got in touch with him again. So this was now 15 years later. And it was remarkable, because what I learned is that he really was set on a path way back when I met with him. And he was able to not only fully overcome his alcoholism, but even had become someone who taught other people and helped other individuals and served as a sponsor, and also became an elder in his own tribe. And so for him, aging showed not only how he could grow out of so many of the different challenges, but was able to take on this incredible new mantle of leadership and creativity and giving back to other generations. He moved back to his ancestral land and actually purchased it back. He's raising buffalo on the land. He has over 80 grandchildren that he is serving as an elder to in First Tribe. Just a remarkable story and a real illuminating picture of how the aging process can bring strength to us as much as we worry about some of the decline that it can bring.
Well, I'll share with listeners that I've read your book, and there are so many wonderful, really heartwarming and illuminative stories in the book.
Well, that's really what I wanted to convey, because I find the most interesting part of my work is listening to stories that people tell, not just because they're good stories, but I find that it tells me how they've dealt with changes in age, and it's taught me ways in which they can continue to grow.
Well, tell us the story about when you met Sophie Freud, Sigmund Freud's granddaughter.
Sure. Well, I came across a fascinating book. It was written by Sophie Freud, who was one of Sigmund Freud's granddaughters, and she actually had taken the memoir of her mother. Her mother had married into the Freud family. It was never published, and she published her mother's memoir, but she added on a whole layer of her own commentary, her own memories, and so it was almost like a memoir within a memoir. But what was interesting is she focused on the role of memory, what her mother remembered, how she saw it through the lens of her own experiences, in turn how her daughter, how she interpreted that. And she writes in the book how in her old age she's working on this book about her mother, about her grandfather, and how memory is serving such a therapeutic and a creative process for her. And it's a good point when we think about people getting older, the role of memory and the role of memory loss, and how it can be both a strength and yet it can also be a great weight for individuals. And hearing it from someone who as a child grew up in the presence and the circle of Sigmund Freud, someone who shaped our entire view of the human mind, was fascinating.
Yeah. Are Alzheimer's and dementia on the rise, or is it just that medicine is keeping people alive for a longer time?
Well, the number of individuals suffering from dementia, which is we define as a brain disease involving memory impairment and other impairment, it's increasing. The most common form is Alzheimer's disease, and the number one risk factor for Alzheimer's disease is old age. And so when you look at the demographics and the increasing older population, more and more people are in the high-risk category for Alzheimer's disease, and so because of that, we see a lot more of it. The other thing is that we see less dementia due to stroke because we have better medical control today over risk factors of stroke, like cholesterol and diabetes and other things. So it's at epidemic proportions, and this is really the number one concern, not only that everyone has as they get older, but as a doctor, I can tell you, this is what I see mostly in my office, what I treat mostly. And we're working very, very diligently at trying to find a more effective treatment, even a cure for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm. And when people go to your website, what actually will they find on it? And share your website, how to get to your website.
Sure. It's simply www.markagronin.com, which is MarkAgronin. I have a preview of the book and some commentary on the book itself. I have some clips from when I've done interviews talking about the book, talking about aging issues. I even have a list of some what I call the top 10 tips on aging, which I really drew from my experiences interviewing individuals. I also do a lot of writing, a lot of blogs, and so there's links to articles I've had in the New York Times and other publications on the website.
Dr. Agronin, any final thoughts?
I want to emphasize that the aging process is changing so rapidly, with 77 million baby boomers beginning to turn 65 this very year, we will see a transformation, even a revolution in terms of what aging means, and in a very positive sense. So everyone should be very optimistic about what the potential is, and that's really what I focus on in the book.
Well, I'd like to end with a verse you quoted by Longfellow. For age is opportunity no less than youth itself in another dress, and as the evening twilight fades away, the sky is filled with stars invisible by day. Thank you so much, Dr. Agronin, for a warm and wonderful book.
Thank you so much.
Bye.